فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by giving us an opportunity to be here today to fulfill our obligation of worship, and also at the same time, inshallah, making us hopefully into more responsible individual. Being more responsible is not something that ends when you get married, or when you have a child, or when your child gets married, or when you have a grandchild, or when you have a good job. But responsibility is something that continues till the day we will leave this world. And responsibility here means trying to live our lifestyle in a way that creates benefit for ourselves and those around us. And this is something that is always developing. It never remains the same. What responsibility meant 20 years ago is very different from responsibility of 10 years ago, and will be very different from what responsibility will be 20 years or 10 years from now. This is why when we study Islam and when we study our religion, it is not only had been for a particular time, but inshallah it can continue for the future as well. Regarding this given aspect, I would just like to, before continuing any further, make us appreciate the bounty and ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. You know, there was a time in American history, for example, if you study the Japanese, when they were going through placing them in the internment camps, there were actually neighbors that were calling their friends up and saying, there's a Japanese guy next door, he or she is going to be kicked out, so why don't you come to them and offer them a pittance for what they have. So for example, if they had, I was reading an article, a piano worth, let's say $3,000, just give them $50, maximum $100. What are they going to do? They have to sell it, they have to leave it behind, and they have to go. In the process, valuable properties, valuable items were given away. So in the back of your mind, what are you going to think? Americans by nature are willing to exploit minorities. That's what your mind will tell you. Now, whether that's right or wrong is a separate discussion. But at the same time, when you look at what is happening in the past 3 weeks, or since the beginning of the president-elect becoming a president, all of a sudden, you don't see the same type of mentality. They did not say to us, pack up your bags and leave. How come? Why? Because as a society and as a people, we have to continually develop. And Americans themselves too have also developed. As I always tell to the people, Americans themselves and American foreign policy don't mix the boat together. They are very, very different. And if you look at the marches that are taking place, you look at the riots that are taking place, you look at not only what happened here in Utah on Sunday or last week, Saturday, where approximately, according to some, 8,000 to 10,000 people gathered. And majority of them, part of what can be called, quote unquote, the dominant culture. They were there for what purpose? To say a wrong is a wrong, and a wrong is something we should walk away from and not sanction. Even today, as I was coming in, I met about 5 people.
Why did they come to the mosque? Because they want to show that what is wrong is something we should walk away from, and what is good, we should incline ourselves towards them. As Muslims, we are not perfect, we agree. And throughout, we will need assistance in becoming better. Now, where does all these ideas come from? Where do all these ideas of constant reformation into existence come into being? You know, Musa alayhi salam, for the guest over here, known in English as Moses, peace be upon him, it is said there is no better gift he could give to his brother than asking Allah to make his brother a prophet. Imagine. Think of the relationships we have with our brothers, with our sisters, with our parents, with our spouses. How giving are we to them? Here we're talking of a request of prophethood. You know what's prophethood? It is something you cannot fathom. It's not like buying a birthday cake for someone. It's not about saying, you know what, I'll sign you on and bring you to America. No, we're talking of prophethood. A prophet by nature is that which is known to be sinless. Yes, they may make ijtihadi errors, errors of judgment, but not to the point where they go out of the fold of religion. Prophethood is something that is very, very sacred. That is why in Islam, if you laugh at a prophet or you mock a prophet, you are no more a Muslim. If a person laughs at a prophet, Lord forbid, and the person dies a few minutes thereafter for whatever reason, that person will die as a non-believer. That is how serious prophethood is in Islam. Now, the Quran says, هو أفصح مني لسانا فأرسل معي بني إسرائيل. Musa alayhi salam is telling to Allah that, oh Allah, make my brother a prophet هو أفصح مني لسانا. Because, oh Allah, I happen to have, just to give you the inner meaning of this ayah, I happen to have a stutter. And because I stutter, I'm not eloquent with my language. I have a problem in getting the message clearly across in a succinct way. We're not saying he was deficient in his content. No. Content of a prophet is always superior to anything around him. The content is superior, but the manner of saying it, there seems to be a lapse in that. Or rather, there seems to be a minimizing of flow in communication. So as a result, oh my Allah, the people are not having a taking to me as they will be able to have a taking to my brother. So oh Allah, make him the prophet and make him a prophet, so the work may get easier, so more people may be able to receive the message, and thus more gain and betterment will take place for the path that we are of. My brothers, do you understand, and my sisters, the impact of what Musa alayhi salam is saying? He is teaching us that if I know that there is someone better than me to do a job, whatever that job may be, I should not put my ego before that individual. If someone is better than me in being able to carry a certain message, then that's the person I gotta put forward. If someone is more qualified in creating a resolution to a given conflict or a given matter, I should not say, you know how many PhDs I have? Do you know my background? Do you know what research I've done? Do you know what I used to be 25 years ago? My brother, forget what used to be 25 years ago. Let's focus on the now and what you are part of. So Musa alayhi salam, this is why he is a prophet. Because he put his ego aside and he put his religion forward. He put his spirituality forward. He put Allah forward. He put the Almighty forward. And this is what we take with us as Muslims. You know, our religion is so beautiful. We spoke about Musa alayhi salam. I know we have some Christian guests over here. So why should we not also share with what we learn from the interaction between Christians and the Muslims? In our religion is very deep. We don't say we cannot take from a certain group because they are this or that. What we say is the following. What is truthful as my Creator deems as truthful. So anyway, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an made a case against a Christian. He says, this gentleman over here, this Christian fellow over here, he happened to have taken my armor. Armor, like, you know, a weapon. I mean, everybody has some things that they need from time to time. And later on, you'll understand the context of what I'm saying. He took my armor, and therefore, I would like you to take you to the court system. Now, you know, right now, we've got to acknowledge that the American court system, I wish we can learn more from it, because we have exchanged our Islamic court system for systems that are unknown out there. Systems that are being made up as time goes by. And I want to prove to you what true Islamic court system is all about. It may not exist right now in society, but back then it did exist. And we appreciate that how Jews, Christians, and many others have also learned a lot from it. And in light of that, regarding the president's ban of Muslims, we have to acknowledge that the American current court system said, basically to Trump, enough is enough, and you have no right to stop these individuals from coming to our country. And many of us will say, wow, wow, this is civilization at its peak. Although we may say that, Islam is no different. And I want to show you this example of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So Ali takes this Christian fellow to court and he says, O judge, he stole my armor. He stole my armor. The man is over there. And in essence, he looks at Ali and he says, really? I stole your armor? Is that what you're going to say over here today? What can you bring forth to say that I stole the armor? Remember, Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was a leader of the people. He was well loved by the people. He was the son-in-law of the Prophet of Allah. He was the husband of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, a woman that we acknowledge that is going to be the leader of women in paradise. Islam, whatever people say that we are backward regarding how we treat our women and all that, that is not true. In fact, if you look up there, women can see men, but men cannot see women. That is the privilege Allah has given women. Because when a woman sees a man, evil thoughts do not grow through her mind like how evil thoughts go through the minds of men. That is why we have them, mashallah, above, and they can see us at the bottom. But there is a more important point I'm trying to make here. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was this powerful person who could, he could have made up a case. He could have brought false witnesses and said, this is the proof that I have, that this man who's a Christian stole from me. So the judge looked at Ali and he says, oh Ali, you are accusing this man of stealing your armor. Do you have any proof and any witnesses that will stand for you right now and say, yes indeed, this man is a thief? And Ali radiallahu ta'ala in the courtroom, he starts smiling. He starts smiling. Why did he smile? That's the question. Why did he smile? He was smiling because he realized, number one, he did not have a witness. Number two, even though the judge could have taken his side, the judge knew full well, today Ali is here, tomorrow he'll be gone. But Allah is never gone. My God is always watching me. As much as I love Ali, I cannot let go of my religion and side Ali over Allah. So what did he ask? He asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, do you have any witnesses? He says, I'm afraid I don't have any witnesses. The judge said, I am sorry. As much as you have a claim, you do not have proof. And since you don't have proof, it is sufficient if this man says, it's my product, I'm innocent. You know, there's an usul. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar. There's a whole usul that comes from the likes of this. That the proof has to be given to the one that is making the claim. In Islam, the West also has similar things, am I right? They talk about this in the courtroom. Islam is mentioning it over 1400 years ago. That if you want to accuse someone, you have to have your bayina, your proof. And because Ali, you cannot give your proof, I'm afraid you have to take the loss of your claim, and that is it. The Christian man walks out. And as he walks out the courtroom, he's walking, and you know the story very well. He turns around all of a sudden to Ali, and Ali looks at him and says, what is it do you want? What is it that you want? And he says, Ali, let me tell you something. You know when a certain battle finished off? He says, yes, you were walking. And as you were walking, that armor fell from your back. As it fell, I picked it up and I took it away. I took it away. I know it belongs to you, but I want you to see how truthful and good your religion is. I want you to see what you are truly all about. I want you to see what your court system is all about. So this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is our religion. It's a religion that does not put ego ahead. In the case of Musa alayhi salam, we learned this valuable lesson that I've talked about in the beginning of this talk. Musa alayhi salam wanted his brother to be a prophet, a magnificent gift. Why? Because he felt his brother could do a better job in conveying a message than himself. And he was willing to sacrifice. Ali radiallahu ta'ala could have manipulated the legal system and taken benefit. But he realized something. There is more to life. There is more to life than tangible goods coming my way. The judge at the same time understood full well. There is more to Ali radiallahu ta'ala in passing favor towards him at the expense of following what the Creator wants him to follow. So my brothers and sisters, in conclusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us greatly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity to do a lot of good. Many individuals, as I mentioned today, we have about no less than 5 guests that I know of that have come here to give support. As much as we like your support as Muslims, we have to continue doing good and uplift not just ourselves, but in acknowledgement of the support you have given us, to give back. And that is why, inshallah, on the 17th of this month, and I urge the regular folks, each one, to come to an event that we will be having, inshallah, in this masjid. Roughly about 5:30 is when the social hour will take place. And most likely around Maghrib, we will start the program. I know you may know everything we will talk about, but come for support. Those people that went on Saturday to support,
many individuals on Capitol Hill, they didn't have to be there. People in Seattle had marches, they didn't have to be there. These 5-10 people that came here today, they don't have to be here. They chose to be here. Why? Because they believe in goodness. Likewise, it's not about coming always for knowledge and increasing how much you know and how much more knowledge you can get. But sometimes to be part of a system creates benefit not only for us, but also for our guests that will be here. Also on the 25th, we will be having an event at the library. I believe it's around 1 o'clock. And I know others will also make this announcement. But my brothers, I think it is important for us to learn about our roots, about history, about America, and what others went through, whether it's the Chinese, whether it's the Native Americans, and in this case, the Japanese. And not only what they went through, but how they overcame their various challenges. I've mentioned to you the story of Musa alayhi salam. I've mentioned to you the story of Isa alayhi salam. What do you see in these two stories? You see the following: standing up for good and doing that which is just. How can you stand up for good and do what is just if you don't know history and we don't stay in tune to these things that are being presented? So inshallah, I hope you will give yourself an opportunity to be present on the 17th inshallah at 5:30 p.m. and put it in your phone. I don't see anyone doing it. I hope you will give your iPhone the luxury, or your fancy Samsung or whatever you have, the luxury to sort of at least have in it something to do with your religion, rather than just sending heart emojis to the friends that you have out there. And on the 25th, I would hope that you are able to be in the library, inshallah, at 1 p.m. at the main library in Salt Lake City. May Allah help us and guide us and bless us at all times.